Let's talk about the songs on the record. And first off, you got to help me out with this title. Was it Avenida Revolution?
Yeah.
Okay.
Revolution.
It's going to be Revolution, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's the correct pronunciation.
Yeah.
I think in the song, Sam does say, Avenida Revolution. But it's Revolution. I mean,
It sounds too French to me, though. You know, for a Mexican word, that's the only Mexican word that sounds French, yeah. Revolution.
Yeah. Joe, what are you doing in the beginning of that song, guitar-wise? Because that's like...
Oh, it's a trick. He said he could teach me how to do it.
That's what he tried to tell me.
All right, well, why don't you tell us?
Really? Am I supposed to reveal it?
Yes.
Before the album comes out, I'm revealing a trick.
Joe.
Can't let all the...
Joe, you'll have to stand in line, buy a ticket, and come to the show. Well, I'll probably
Joe's
turn my
turn
back to
back.
The
audience.
Oh, okay. I heard about guitar players who do that.
Yeah, I learned that from Eddie. He was a smart man.
Eddie turned his back because he didn't want you to see what he was playing because he didn't know what he was playing.
No, it's just a little trick with a guitar pick.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
being specific.
I think, you know, that was one of their earlier songs, and that came from that guitar performance is actually from my house.
Okay.
It was a demo. That I recorded again, like, you know, I was writing a whole bunch of different kinds of songs. I'm thinking, you know, which one is Sam gonna like, which one's Mike gonna like, which one's Chad's gonna like, you know. So I would just go totally into it 100%. And so there was a song that had the weirdest ass riff, and I thought, I bet no one could ever sing over that. And of course he came up with
it's really limited though. I mean, it's so limited, but it's cool. I mean, it's like, you know,
yeah, it's a weird, you know, built off the flat five there. But it was, I think I called it like fire, into the fire, going for the fire, something like that. I didn't know what, I was just thinking imagery. And so I wanted something that sounded like it was bubbling up like flames, you know.
Sammy, you know, other songs too, but lyrically, this is amongst one of your weightier songs. Do you sometimes feel hampered by your image? People think of you as a, you know, good time guy.
I am.
Cabo.
I am.
Can't drive 55.
I can't.
I know. But I don't feel hampered by anything.
I know what you're trying to get at, probably, but I really don't. I choose to sing and write about what I want to, you know. And I've always had that freedom in bands because, like I say, no one wants to write lyrics usually, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, okay, if I'm going to write the lyrics and I'm going to sing them, I'm going to write about what I want to write about. Now, when I heard, I normally wouldn't have picked on that subject, but when I heard that music, I swear I like see people running through ditches and like crawling and fucking across barbed wire fences and shit. I mean, I saw it. It was so visual that, and you know, and because I drive to Cabo, that's one of my funner things when I have 3 or 4 days in my life, you know, mm-hmm. where I don't have nothing to do. I'll get, you know, we'll drive down to Cabo. And that Avenida Revolution, that street is amazing. When you drive down it for miles and it's nothing but crosses and flowers and paintings and stuff where people have died trying to, you know, cross that street and get run over by cars and what? Okay, there you go. What do they have when you're driving down the street? You see,
it's reading the questions.
It doesn't say friggin'. It doesn't say friggin' cattle crossing, or it doesn't say, you know, whatever crossing. It's got women and children. You know, holding their hands crossing the street. And watch out for this. And people, man, it's fucking, look at, man. I'm all. It was so devastating that when I heard that music and I saw immediately that street, and I thank God. I called my Mexican partner. This is such great karma. And I said, Marco, what's the name of that street? And he said, Avenida Revolution. I said, it was a fucking title if I ever heard one in my life. It was just such good karma. And that song wrote itself. It's verbatim.
The song Sexy Little Thing. This is for Joe. Stop looking at your BlackBerry. It's interesting. Michael and Sammy, you know, have been in bands that have obviously dealt with songs of very sexual nature. But your image is a little bit more squeaky clean.
Well, we're going to take care of that.
Yes, you were saying.
You will learn about the real Joe Satriani.
You know, is it funny or strange to be playing some songs that are overtly sexual?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, when I wrote that song and I showed it to Sam, I said it was called Sexy Little Sexy Girl or Your Sexy Little Thing.
Okay.
Or She's a Sexy Little Thing. But I was sort of like, I knew that's what the song was about. I wouldn't have a clue as how to make a song out of that title. Uh-huh. But that's what I did with all the demos. I put a little thing on there, and I'd say that's what it's about.
So basically, you can get all your perverse, you know, impulses out in this band now. Right? That you've been holding.
Well, the door's wide open now. I don't know what it's talking about. We open the door for you.
I got to tell you, there's about five. Well, as we go through, I'll remember which ones are. This one was a song where Joe had a title in his head, where like E Stomp was E Stomp didn't ever get in that thing. But most of the songs, when Joe said have this piece of music, he had a title. It was the instrumentals, and the title totally made sense to me when I heard the music. Sexy Little Thing, that's some raw, down and dirty, you know, get to pop the buttons off your jeans shit, man. And it was like, and he said, I hear it like a bunch of guys in the background singing something about, oh, you know, he's sexy baby or something like that. And I thought, yeah, I hear that shit too, you know. And it was just, there wasn't one song, I don't think, that we Running Out.
Yeah.
Even Running Out, Joe had it for his title. You know that I want it. That's what he was saying. And I even got that line in the damn song. You know, because it really fit. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's interesting. I think musically, Joe, as an instrumentalist, I think he thinks in words. When he plays guitar solos, I can hear him. He's singing. He's singing and talking.
The song called Turning Left, that's a pretty gnarly riff.
It is, yeah. It's gnarly, all right. I
mean, did you have a collection of some riffs from Joe Satriani albums that didn't make them that you used on this record?
The only song I had that was prior to Sam calling me up a year ago was Learning to Fall, but it was called something else. Mm-hmm. But I had written that for him for the band Planet Us.
Okay.
When he called me, whatever that, 5 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah, it's been about 5 years.
Something like that. So, but it was called something else, and I'd played it for Sam. I even showed you lyrics.
Yeah, he had written
and
lyrics.
He was very kind, I gotta say, because they were, you know, it was pretty embarrassing stuff. But that's very nice. Yes, that's very nice, Joe. Thank you. But of course, then he came back with Learning.
No, not the first time. No, I didn't. Remember, I came back with
what was it called?
It was really, Mr. Sunshine.
Mr. Sunshine.
Mr. and Mrs. Sunshine. My 12-year-old daughter's going, Daddy, you can't say Mr. Sunshine. That's not going to sound good. I'm going, you know, because I'm just talking about a relationship. It was a bad idea, and I sang a whole different style and everything. I struggle with that. If you want to get into that song, I struggle harder on that song than any song on the album.
In what way?
That I couldn't find it. I liked it. I loved the music, you know. And I couldn't find the melody, I couldn't find the lyric, and oh man, I must have wrote 5 or 6 different Mr. and Mrs. Sunshines. And then I wanted to call it Hello.
Remember that's right.
That was in the band name, kind of evolved that, and we thought about calling the band Hello and things like that. But it was rough for me, because that was one of the first things Joe and I did together, and I didn't finish that until almost the end. It was one of the last of that group of songs before we started writing new ones in the studio. It was the last of that group of songs. And then I finally, I was so frustrated and my voice was blown out. I said, fuck it, I'm just going to sing like a soul singer. Remember, and I just started scatting some whole new thing. And then we found it finally. Yeah. And it's awesome. It's, you know, one of my favorite songs on the record. But that I struggle with. And it wasn't because of Joe's lyrics that he gave me to begin with. It just that I had a melody and a lyric in my head that was way too wimpy for this band. It was way too sweethearty, you know, real spongy, you know what I mean? It was like, yeah, you know, kind of, I don't want to mention any other bands, but Chad said, there ain't going to be no in this band. We all laughed about it. He mentioned another band's name. We're not going to have any of those kind of songs in this band, are we? And I said, absolutely not.
The song My Kind of Girl sounds like a single to me. you don't think so?
Yeah. Joe was trying to make me go back and write a different chorus because he thought it sounded too commercial, like it was too much. I'm going, Joe, there's no such thing.
See, you know, because, you know, I have succeeded at obscurity.
No hits here. You will write no hits.
But if what he's got to understand is my obscure stuff never got heard the light of day. The only thing I ever made it with were hits. Because you want
to be a cult band, really, right?
That song is seriously really a great lyric. And that chorus, I think, is the best chorus melody I think I've ever been involved with writing with. And I told you, I said, you're crazy. And that song is user-friendly, man. You've been in a fucking convertible. See, I got a 4 or 5 convertibles, so I'm cheating it, you know, I'm putting it in a convertible and driving down the road going, man, wait till the world hears this shit in the summer. There's just something about a song like that.
Yeah, you got, I'm in love with it. You got that lyric, and then when the chorus kicks in, I mean, Everybody wants to sing it.
And there's Mike and I singing those choruses. That is just Michael Anthony and Sammy Hagar singing together on that chorus. Then it Crosby, Stills, and Nash, man. You know, I mean, it sounds as good as vocal bands, right? I went to Cabo, and I called her, Joe from down there. I said, nailed this fucker. I knew that lyric. I said, man, I got it. I found that. It's about a single mom, and that's it, man. This thing is done, end of bed.
But there was an interesting way that song took this sort of this little journey, whereas mm-hmm. when I wrote it, I was thinking like, oh, this might be too heavy metal. Mm. But I thought, you know, by then I'd learned, show it no matter what. You know, they may hate it or they may like it, or someone in the band may stand up and say, that would be great if you would just, you know, turn it like that.
Yeah, right?
So we start playing it, and I'm plugged into the PV 50 watt, you know. And so it's more of a traditional sound, and I start playing, and Chad's listening to it, and they're all like, no, we can do something with that. But what they did to it gave me a whole different thing, mm-hmm. the message. It wasn't what I intended, where I thought the song would go. It took on this other thing, musically, and
right.
then we were able to write the rest of it there. We had to come up with the solo mm-hmm. sections,
right.
and then we had to come up with an arrangement. And one of the things that is cool about Chad is that he's sort of like, he gets upset if there are stylistic things that are bugging him. And he'll stand up right away and say, well, we're not going to do anything like that.
Yeah. These are the chillest, man. He don't fuck around. Like
yeah. We got to make sure it's just, you know, let's, you know. And so, you know, then we'd be sitting there talking and playing, and we'd be like, more like this and, you know, not like that band, or more like this dude or something like that, or, you know, I've got this influence and it would be cool, let's do that. And all of a sudden the song developed this character to it. And so it was a song that, you know, started here but sort of blossomed with everyone playing on it. And then, and his story about the lyric journey and all that,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it fits right in.
It softened it up, you know, in a way. This song was heavy, man. When I was going, mm-hmm. fuck, man, this is, it was really like trucking, you know, it was just really a straight ahead rocker. And I don't know where that melody came up with. I don't have the control of that shit, you know. That I listen to the music that Joe brings, and I just start singing what I'm hearing and mm-hmm. feeling to it. And I felt with it. I love the verses, you know, kind of AC/DC or something like that. Yeah, this is cool. But then that chorus came, and I couldn't get it out of my head. I couldn't stop singing. I said, no, this is good. Then I'd fight with
it. No, it's not too commercial. It's right in the ballpark.
It'll be the third single.